The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Tomorrow starts the 14th annual Raton Family Camp Meeting. Woo-hoo. Thank you for your overwhelming response. Where's Eric? Eric always gives us a big woohoo.
There it is.
There it is. So today we're going to bring you the message, Standing in Victory. It's about, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, it's about facing that fear, getting fearless, as Monty's been talking about for weeks. Yes. Yes. Fearless. We want to be able to stand and live fearlessly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's not easy. The world is loud. Mm. The world is loud, and it's going to try to distract you. So starting in Ephesians 6:13 in the Amplified Classic, therefore put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Mm-hmm. That you may be able to resist. Mm-hmm. What's that word, resist? Mm-hmm.
So this is the translation and the scripture that we're using for our theme this year. And most all of us have read Ephesians 6 when it talks about the armor. And we're going to try to take our time this morning, not take too much of your time, but not rush over anything either, because just this one verse is so rich. It's got so many layers of wisdom and revelation. But I love it. I love it. He says, put on God's complete armor. That means we don't want any part exposed for the attack of the enemy. Amen. We want every piece securely in its place. And it's a choice. We say that over and over at the Lighthouse. It's a choice. We get to choose. It's available to us. But we are the ones that get to choose to put his armor on, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. So we've talked a little bit about resistance, and it's kind of like an arm wrestle, right? So if you're arm wrestling somebody and you want to win, you've got to apply more force than they are bringing against you, right? I mean, that's kind of how it works. And so if we're going to be able to stand and to resist, it says, resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. I was just going to say, so in order to resist whatever's coming at us, no matter how strongly it's coming against us, we have to apply more force back in order to resist.
Standing firmly. Mm-hmm. John, can you join me up here? I'm going to use John to come against me. And he had.
Wow.
We're not getting that serious. But if I'm standing and he comes against me and pushes against me, I'm able to resist, right? And even if I'm in a stance of more resistance, it's going to be harder for him to have his way. So I'm going to stand ready at all times, and we'll get more into that. But if I'm sitting here, now what could John do? Yeah, I'm over. I'm done. Yeah. And if I was to lay down, how would I be able to resist him?
Yeah.
The devil's going to kick you when he gets you down. Thank you, John. But you see my point. When you're standing at ready with your sword, which is the word of God, anything can come at you, and you're not going to give. Mm-hmm. You are able to resist and stand firmly in your place.
Mm-hmm. I I just want you guys, I want to encourage everybody, because a lot of us have read these scriptures. We've heard them all our lives. They seem very familiar. But we know that the word is living. So we know that he has something new for us every time we dig into it. Amen. So we know that even though we've heard these scriptures before, he has something specific for us in this time. I know you guys will agree with me wholeheartedly. There have been things that we've never had to face before. Coming against us as the body of Christ. There are conversations we've had to have with our children, with our coworkers, that we've never had to have before. But the good news is we were created, like Esther, and eventually we'll get there, for such a time as this. Amen? And we are equipped. He's taught us. He's trained us how to stand. But we're going to have to take a little bit of a different stance now than we ever have before. Yes, the enemy's this. I mean, he has the same tactics, absolutely. We're not ignorant of his schemes. We've talked a lot about that. We're not ignorant of his thoughts. Amen? But... we are called to stand in a different way than we've ever had to before. And so I know that's why the Lord had this so strongly on our hearts, is to encourage each and every one of you about standing.
Standing.
Amen.
And if you're following along in the notes, don't panic. That's actually a study guide. It's not notes. It turned out to be 11 pages, I think. We should be able to cover it by 3 or 4. Y'all good? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
If we hear a stomach grumbling. So be subject to God. Be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Mm-hmm. James 4:7 in the Amplified.
So a lot of translations say instead of be subject to God, it's submit to God. Okay, and I thought this was really interesting. And once again, if you've looked at your outline at all, or go back and look later, I thought this was super interesting. When you look at submit in the Greek, it was a Greek military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. So isn't that interesting? To submit means you are literally just, we've talked about it, it's under the same mission, right? A lot of times it gets a bad submission, you know. But when we're submitting to God, we're under the same mission. But basically what we're doing is saying he's our commander in chief, right? And so whatever he says, we're at his command. But it says in a non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. So basically, when we submit to God, we are saying, Lord, we cooperate with you. We cooperate with the plan that you have in every way. And I love how these two verses go together, because when you think about it, when you submit to God, when you put his complete armor on, you're submitting to him, amen? And then we are able to resist the power of the enemy, stand firm against him. And man, there's a promise, guys, he will flee. He has to flee. He cannot stand against us when we submit, when we put that complete armor of God on, and then we stand against and resist him. He has to flee.
He has to.
Man, that gets me excited.
Whose word is that?
Yeah.
Whose word is that?
God's
That's
word.
That's God's word.
God's word. Amen.
You can't argue with that.
Amen.
In Matthew 8:23-26 in the Passion, it says they all got into a boat. We've all read this, but let's just clear your mind and let's focus on this a little closer today. Mm-hmm. They all got into a boat, Jesus and the disciples, and began to cross over to the other side of the lake. And Jesus, exhausted, fell asleep. Suddenly, a violent storm developed. With waves so high, the boat was about to be swamped. Yet Jesus continued to sleep soundly. Remember that Proverbs I was reading earlier?
Mm, thank you, Lord.
The disciples woke him up, saying, "Save us, Lord. We are going to die." They had already forgot who they were with, obviously. But Jesus reprimanded them. "Why are you gripped with fear? Where is your faith?" Then he stood and rebuked the storm, saying, "Be still," and instantly it became perfectly calm.
We probably should go ahead and read the next scripture. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. We've got it in two different translations, but let's just read it in the New King James. I like how Pastor Monty says that's how a lot of us remember learning it, right? It sounds like that. So, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Once again, we're very familiar with these scriptures, guys, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what's interesting is fear in 2 Timothy 1:7 and fear when Jesus said, why are you gripped with fear? In Matthew 8, that scripture we just read when they were in the boat and the storm rose, same Greek word. And it doesn't translate like, oh, I'm scared kind of thing. It's timid. It literally means to be timid. That's what it means in Greek. And come on, guys, how many times does the enemy do his best to intimidate us, right? He tries to get us to shrink back and be timid because of certain things that we see in front of us. And guys, they're real things, by the way. They're real things. But he's always working hard to intimidate us, to cause us to be timid. Okay, so this is, I looked timid up. We know what it means, but always kind of like, it almost brings a deeper meaning when we look it up. So the definition is showing a lack of courage or confidence, easily frightened. Okay, so that's what he's trying to do with us. When we see things around us, when we hear certain reports, he's trying to get us to react, to be timid, to not be bold, to not be strong, to not be courageous, and not be confident. Completely opposite of what the Lord's calling us to do, amen. So it's very interesting. It's not a shake in your boots kind of a fear. It's a, I don't know if I should say this. In our world today, you get canceled, correct? You get ghosted. I don't know. What are some of the words? I don't do a lot of the social media stuff, but I've heard it happens when we make a stand at times. There are powers in the earth that will come against that.
Well, even being maybe in your job, workplace, maybe in your family, you've had a conversation where you are pretty confident in what you're saying, but yet someone comes against you with a louder voice, and because they're louder, it'll give you a timidity, a lack of confidence where you start questioning yourself.
Well, yeah.
And that's exactly the way Satan likes to work, mm-hmm. Subtly getting you to lose your confidence. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about standing because that's our theme this year. And in that Ephesians 6, like in four verses, Paul says, stand over and over. In verse 13 and verse 14, stand, therefore. I mean, he keeps saying stand. Guys, when we stand, we're in a position of authority, right? When we are battle ready, he kind of showed the example. But when we're sitting or we're lying down, we're more vulnerable to the enemy's attack. So we're called to stand. We're going to get into it later. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I will share the quote. He mentioned a quote that I heard this week that I really liked. And it goes like this. I'm going to start over. He who is intimate with God can never be intimidated by men.
Say that again.
He who is intimate with God can never be intimidated by men. Isn't that good? I liked that a lot. And it goes right along with what the Lord had on our hearts for today.
And when a man, a woman comes against you and you feel intimidated, just remember it's not them.
Yeah. Right.
It's the enemy using them
to
intimidate you because you are using your voice. You are being bold.
Pastor Monty reminds us all the time, we're going to feel fear, right? We're going to feel it. But we have to recognize it and stand against that fear that comes upon us, because it's that timidity, it's the enemy trying to get us to lay down, to back off, to shut up. He gets that with me all the time. You know, just gets you real quiet. I get real quiet and I stop speaking out of my mouth the truth and the things that I know need to be spoken. I get kind of into myself, and so that's a big tactic of the enemy as well.
Did you put that verse in about under our feet?
I did.
So it's further down.
It is.
Okay. We won't go there then. Yeah, I'm real familiar with the notes. So let's go ahead and read that 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Amplified. I think it's just so good. We've got to give it some airtime. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardness or craven or cringing or fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit. He's given us a spirit. Amen. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Mm-hmm. Man, that's a confession for the day.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we talked about the definition of being timid, showing a lack of courage. And so for a lot of us, a lot of times our mind goes to, and it did me, Joshua 1:9. I mean, it's so beautiful. And we've got it in the Amplified Classic. It's the women's translation. Everybody knows. Has
Don't
all
look
the
at
words.
Your wife.
You can look at me because I love it. It's got lots of words. I love it. Okay. So Joshua 1:9 in the Amplified Classic. Have not I commanded you? It's not a suggestion, guys. It's not a way. It's a command from our commander-in-chief. He's giving us orders, right, as the army of God. Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. It's going to take courage to take a stand for the truth now more than ever. Be not afraid. There it is again. Don't be scared. Neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank you,
Lord. For the Lord your God is with you. When you stand, you're not standing in your own strength. Because when you're standing, if something comes against you and you're in your own strength, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You've got to go with this. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank you, Lord, for I am strong, I am vigorous, and very courageous. Very courageous. I will not be afraid, neither will I be dismayed, for you, my God, is with me wherever I go.
This is probably a good place.
Oh, you know, we're preaching better than I just, that amen I just got.
They're soaking it up. They're listening.
Yeah, okay. It's sponges, right?
This is probably a good time. And some of y'all have heard some of my personal testimony, but man, I've had a couple of times, and you guys can testify as well, where the Lord has had to be very firm with me. He's never mean or cruel or rude, but he's had to be firm because he knew I needed it. How many times have we had to do that with our kids? Sometimes it's a gentle hand. Sometimes you got to be a little more firm. And so the Lord, he's our good father, and he knows what we need when we need it. And so I've had him get really firm with me before. And at one of the hardest, lowest, most difficult times of my life, I wanted to crawl in a corner, in a fetal position, suck my thumb, throw a fit. I mean, and he pulled me up by my bootstraps, and he said, listen here. He said, oh, no, you don't. You will stand, and it's not your strength. It's mine, by the way, and that's exactly what these scriptures are reminding us of. This courage, this confidence, this strength that we have is the greater one on the inside of us. Amen. It's not something I can muster up on my own. If I do, it's not going to last. It's not going to work. It has to be that submission, right? That fully depending on him and surrendering to him and trusting him that he's provided that armor for my good. And I'm going to stand in his strength to come against whatever happens to come against me. And he got my attention, guys. He has a way of doing that, just like every good father does. And so he was very firm, and I kind of was still throwing a little fit, but I said, yes, sir. I mean, I said, okay, I knew that that's what I had to do. And so thank you, Lord. I'm actually very thankful that he does that. He doesn't leave me. He cares about me. And now he doesn't leave me in the fetal position, sucking my thumb. That's no good for anybody. So we have those moments. We're going to feel those things at times, but he's so faithful. He's so faithful, and he knows how to get our attention. He's so good.
Yes. And in order to find that strength, to have that courage, we've got to be intimate with God.
Yes.
And how do we hear it basically every week. First, it starts with the ABCs. You've got to know God. You've got to have Jesus as your personal Savior. You got to admit it, quit it and forget it, admit it and ask forgiveness. You've got to believe that Jesus was on the cross and he rose the third day, and you've got to confess it. Jesus is my Savior with your mouth. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to do a little more. But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not by anything you can do mm-hmm. other than confess him as your Savior.
Accept it, believe.
That's the only thing you got to do is believe and confess. You cannot work yourself to the bone enough to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because it's free. It's a free benefit. It's a free gift. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to be intimate. So you need to be. You were talking about the wilderness, mm-hmm. and we almost put it in. Mm-hmm. But Jesus knew the Scripture. Mm-hmm. He was the Scripture. He is the Word. Mm-hmm. But what did the enemy, the Satan, try to use against him? Mm-hmm. His own word.
Yeah.
He tried to use the word against him. Mm-hmm. So Satan knows the word.
Yeah.
So how are you going into battle and not knowing what's in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
It's like going into battle with a pitchfork or an antler strapped to a stick. I always said in Braveheart, I'm the guy in the third row with the antler on the stick. You know, William Wallace is out front with a sword this tall, and I'm back in the third row with my antler. I was out. I was done early.
By ourselves.
Well, we're trying to do it with our own strength. But God gives us a huge sword. He gives us a huge sword. I can reach to the back of the room with it. If this is going out over Facebook, I'm reaching out into the world. Because I'm using his sword, the spoken word of God.
Amen.
Man, that wasn't even in our notes. And that was good. So, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
That was all the Lord.
Yes, yes. Deuteronomy 31:6 in the Amplified Classic is similar to Joshua 1:9. And over and over. You know, when the Lord says something once, we probably should listen. But if he says it again and again and again and again, you think he's probably trying to get our attention? It might be something we really need to listen to. And so I love it when you find in the Word over and over specific phrases or words or commands, because there's a reason for it. We need it. Amen? We need it. And you notice our thing is standing in victory. We've said it before. We're not trying to get victory. We already have it. We're fighting from a position of victory. In order to experience more and more victory, these are some of the things we have to do. We have to be strong. So Deuteronomy 31:6, Amplified Classic, be strong, courageous, and firm. I like that. Fear not, nor be in terror before them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Amen? Amen.
So good. Be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them. This kind of goes back to that Proverbs I read in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Fear not.
So good.
For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. That's a big stick. When you take the Lord with you, you're carrying a big stick.
Yes. Amen.
For he will not fail you or forsake you. Who fails you? I fail myself.
Mm-hmm.
I fail myself.
Mm-hmm.
When I make choices that aren't probably quite with the Word of God, when I do things that don't line up with the Word, when I don't listen to that Spirit that's telling me, don't do it, and I do it, I fail myself. But as long as I'm in this word, as long as I'm speaking to be strong, as I'm speaking to be courageous and firm, and I'm not going to fear whatever comes against me because I know the Lord is with me,
mm-hmm. That's right. So good.
I will not fail. I cannot fail.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot fail when I have the Lord with me.
That's right. Amen.
And I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to walk that, and I've got to believe that.
Got to stand, right?
You got to stand.
Got to put his armor on, you know, got to do some things.
So the key word.
Stand. One of the key words, stand. He says it over and over, and there's a reason for it.
And how do we stand? We take the Lord. We take God with us. We're intimate with God. Mm-hmm. We cannot be intimate one time a week for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work that way.
A few weeks ago, we talked about the difference between hearing and knowing. And when you really know something, Pastor Monty said it, we know that we know that we know. My dad used to say it. When you know something, you can't be talked out of it. We hear lots of things, but when you know it, I mean, no, it's not happening. You can't be talked out of it. And so when he's talking about being intimate with God, and it's that the truth you know, the scripture talks about the truth you know is what makes you free. So important, guys. We hammer it and talk about it over and over. Getting the truth in you. Why? Because once you know it intimately, you cannot be talked out of it. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it later, so I don't want to jump too far ahead. I tend to do that sometimes. I know, but it's that because okay, what's the opposite of the truth? There's the truth, and then there's what? Lie. Okay, there's a truth and there's a lie. So when we are intimate and it's the truth we know that makes us free, that's what that scripture says. And that word know literally means intimately, that we can't be talked out of it. And so it's so important, guys, for us to have that truth in us, because guess what? When the lie comes along, we're going to know it. We're going to say, okay, hold on. I know the truth. Right? I can't be talked out of it. This is not the truth. This is the lie, which has to come from one place, the father of lies, the father of lies. And so it's the truth we know that makes us free.
I am fully persuaded and completely persuaded that I will be able to stand against anything in the strength of the Lord.
So
in the power of the Lord.
I've heard this. I don't know it personally, but like when you have a counterfeit bill. Okay, so in order to make a counterfeit look real, they study the real thing pretty closely in order to make the counterfeit, to make it look real. And so that's what we're talking about. It's later in our notes as well. I keep doing this, but there's scripture, and it's in our notes, and we'll get to it as the Lord leads. But he comes to us as an angel of light, right? He can't create. The enemy cannot create. So all he can do is copy. All he can do is counterfeit. All he can do is make the lie look real and look true, right? That's all he can do. And so what's our job? Our job as the body of Christ, the army of God, is to recognize, just like I said, when we know that truth, we're like, okay, hold on, that's a counterfeit. It looks like the truth. It kind of sounds like the truth, but that's not the truth. That's not my God. That's not my Jesus. And that's not his word. Amen. So it's going to look real close to the same thing at times. So often, we're discouraged from standing on certain points because of something that looks real, it sounds right, but remember, it's a counterfeit, because he cannot create, he can only copy.
Another reason we might not stand as firm or resist is because of the way we've been taught, mm-hmm. especially in the church. Mm-hmm. I grew up my whole life in and out of church. But when I was in church, I don't think I was being taught right. I was being taught a doctrine instead of the truth of the word. Mm-hmm. And that doctrine would say things that I felt condemnation. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't feel the love that I feel in this church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That was a place for a hearty amen. But, and it's not the people that we were learning from's fault, because guess what? That's the way they were taught. Right. And then they were taught. Right. And it goes back for generations. That's why I'm so thankful for the Lighthouse and Monty and Sarah, is because they are teaching the truth from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's what's going to enable us to stand firmly against the things that come against us, the things that we've got to stand our ground. We've got to stand up. We've got to start standing up more. Mm-hmm. I think we'll go to this next scripture, and then we'll probably call it good for the day. But I like what you put in our notes. Standing is a position of authority. Yes, amen. A position of authority. And it makes me think of Romans, where it says that we have the same spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead.
That's so good. Amen.
We have that kind of power
yes.
living inside of us
amen.
Right here.
Amen. Amen.
Some of us got a little more spirit than the rest. But that's where it's at. And we have that same power. So that means we have the same authority.
Yes.
What did we read in Timothy? For he didn't give us a spirit of fear. Thank you. But he gave us a spirit of power and of love and of calm. That power there is authority. He gave us a spirit of authority
yes.
and of love yes. and of calm. So that means we've got to take authority over this things
yeah.
that are going on
yeah.
around us.
Right.
We have the authority and we can stand up to it.
Amen. Amen.
I almost got on a soapbox. But I didn't. And so we'll finish with this scripture. And the God of peace, it's Romans 16:20 in the Passion. 16:20, Romans 16:20 in the Passion. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. Not his feet, under your feet.
Thank you, Lord.
And the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740.
Love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Love will leave.